Wherefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him in his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principalities and power and mighty and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. This is the word of God.
Good morning. Wow. It's a little loud there. Before we get very far, I'd like to start with a word of prayer. Let's bow our heads. Father, I thank you for another Sabbath day. I thank you for your love. I ask now that you touch my lips and let not one word leave them that is not from you. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Has anybody ever witnessed a baby learning to crawl and then walk? Have you witnessed that? Most of us have. It's a very interesting, fun, painful process. It's fun for the parents because guess what? It's about to walk. Oh no, I gotta make sure everything's baby-proofed, you know, all at the same time. And painful for the kid. Up and fall, and up and fall, and over and over and over again. Until finally, they start walking. Our walk with God can be somewhat like that. Sometimes we stumble at the beginning. Sometimes we stumble later on. And our prayer life, it's so easy for it to be like that. And as we've been studying prayer for the past 3 months, we come to a conclusion of that study today. Before we get into what I want to talk about today, I'd like to look at where we've been. We started back in March talking about personal prayer. And we talked about God's leading us through our prayer, through the story of Jabez and his prayer. And there was a challenge in that sermon to pray that prayer. God would enlarge your territory, that you wouldn't harm anyone. We then moved on to praise and the story of Mary and how when she realized that she was with child, as she praised God, in the book of Luke, we get that story. So we've got God's leading and personal prayer. Then we get into some interesting questions about waiting and questioning God through the story of Abram before he had children. These are things we wrestle with personally. And that takes us right to wrestling with God. As we looked at Jacob in his night wrestling with Jesus. And then we also looked at Jesus wrestling with the cross. To take it from me, but your will, not mine. We moved from there in April to corporate prayer, praying together. And we spent 2 weeks on the Lord's Prayer, what is typically called the Lord's Prayer. And we broke that down, and for where the first half of it is about our relationship with God. And the second half of it is about our relationship with each other and how we are to relate together. We moved from there to what we call the Apostles' Prayer in Acts 4, where they're praying for the Holy Spirit after Christ has died. They're praying to come together, praying for unity. The kind of things that can happen when we pray together, the Holy Spirit can be poured out. Then we moved to Moses and the Lamb. The prayer, the song of prayer and praise in heaven when we are redeemed. We moved from there into intercessory prayer. And we've talked about Abraham. And we touched on all the prayers just a little bit. But we experienced what it was like for Abraham to struggle, to talk to God and figure out what God wanted for him. And then we heard John 17. This was last week. And the Lord's Prayer, or what we're Jesus praying for his disciples. And the phraseology there is down through time for you. Which brings us to this week. My title this week is What Now? We've got all this knowledge that we've gained and challenges that have been given, but what do we do now? As we look at our passage today in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 through 21. And we're going to look at it verse by verse and break it down. But there's two key questions that we're going to look at. And we're still talking about intercessory prayer. But what do we do with it? The questions for this week, for this topic, in two of them. Who should we intercede for? And as we're interceding, what should we pray for? Not just, oh, just be with them, but what should we pray for? And it's very clear in this passage. With all that being said, let's get into our passage today. little background on verse 15. Paul is, he's heard about the Ephesians. And he's in prison, presumably. Or he's heard while in prison about the Ephesians. And he's heard how they're doing. Verse 15, therefore I also, after I heard of your faith, in what? What does it say? In the Lord Jesus, and your love for all the saints. So it's not just Jesus, your faith in Jesus, and your love for everybody. After I heard, I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. So what we're going to look at is Paul's prayer for the Ephesians. And we're going to use it as a model for us as we intercede. He's heard about their good works, what they're doing. You notice in verse 16, how often does he pray for them? Does it say, well, I pray for you once a day. I pray for you once a week. What's it say? I do not cease to give thanks for you in my prayers. Right there, we should start. We should not cease praying. So we have that command directly, pray without ceasing. But this is intercessory prayer. Many times when we're thinking of praying without ceasing, we think of praying for ourselves. But this is praying for others. Verse 17. And it's a long, very long run-on sentence. So it's hard. I'm going to look up, what's he saying? You just got to stay with the text here as I'll step aside here or there. But it's a very long run-on sentence and group of them. So he mentions, he remembers them in his prayer, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ. So he takes them to where? First. He says that God takes it right to the top. He prays that God, the Father of glory, will give you the Spirit of wisdom. Now, what is that? What is the Spirit of wisdom? I'm sorry? The Holy Spirit? It's an extra portion of wisdom. Illuminated wisdom. Give you more than you can need so that you make wise decisions. Discernment. It's a good word. And revelation in the knowledge of Him. Not just wisdom, but also a working, personal, intimate knowledge of God. You don't need anything else, do you? If you've got a personal knowledge of God, that would be awesome, wouldn't it? Now, how do we get that? By constantly talking to Him and letting Him talk to us through His Scriptures. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Now, eyes of your understanding, that phrase, could also be eyes of the heart. And the idea there is that the heart is the center of the self, the center of our thought process. So it, for today's the eyes of the brain, how you are enlightened, how you think about things. Okay. Eyes are the light to the soul. That you gain an understanding and you are enlightened in three areas. First, what are the riches of the glory? What are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints? Did I jump a text? Yeah, I did. That you may know what is the hope of His calling. I jumped a line with my Bible. What is the hope of His calling? What is the hope of God's calling? We all may be saved. Each one of you is called specifically for a purpose. God's called you to work for Him, not necessarily preaching, but where you are, sharing Him with those around you. Now we get to, and the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. What is Christ's inheritance? What is the inheritance that we're talking about here? Heaven. The riches of inheritance. The inheritance is being saved through Christ. Now, if we don't have that inheritance, what happens to us at the end of time? We'll perish, and that will be it. But we look forward to the inheritance, not just heaven. Heaven's awesome, but that's just a place. It is where God lives, but we could live forever and experience heaven and all of God's creation. And the third thing is, what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe? Now, you can't leave it there, because that's the next question. What is the greatness? But it explains it. According to the working of His mighty power, which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him. Well, when He raised Him from the dead, and we'll stop there. What is the power that comes through Christ? Power over the grave. Even if at some point we were to die, if we're in Christ, He will give us that power over the grave if we're in Him. We have assurances. That Christ will raise us again if we're in Him. And that verse ends with, He was seated at the right hand in the heavenly places. What sits Who sits at the right hand of a throne? No, any throne. If we're talking of a kingdom, who sits at the right hand? The most trusted person sits at the right hand of any throne, any throne room. In this case, in heaven, that is Jesus. And Jesus is our way to heaven. And he is 21. He is far above all principalities and power and might and dominion. And every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. We have Jesus. And what he has given us is power over the grave if we trust and give our lives to him. And he's the most powerful being in the entire creation. And he wants us. What an awesome passage. It continues. My passage ends in 21, but I can't help it. 22 and 23 says what Christ is in charge of. But he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body. The fullness of him who fills all in all. Christ is in charge of everything. And he wants you. This is a prayer of Paul to the Ephesians. He's praying for them. And if we use that as an example, who should we intercede for? Back to our questions at the beginning. Who should we intercede for? The followers of Christ? Those that are around us? How about those that we know are not followers of Christ? Those that we have influence over. Everybody. We should intercede for everybody. And if as we're interceding, what are we interceding for? We're not to intercede for about their faults. We're not praying for, oh, help them with this or help them with that. We're praying that they're continually growing in their relationship with Christ. Everything else really doesn't matter. If you're with Christ, who cares if you die tomorrow? Because you're going to wake up on resurrection morning and you're not going to know you were asleep. We pray for their relationship with Christ. Because without that relationship, there will be no waking on resurrection morning. We started with a baby crawling and beginning to walk. I'd like to end with somebody who's been walking and running for a long time. Has anybody ever trained for a marathon? How about a Shorter race. How about a 10K? No? How about a 5K? No? No runners in here. Oh, there's one. I've done a 5K. A marathon is 26.1 miles, if I remember the numbers correctly. And when you're training for a marathon, you don't just go out, no, I'm going to run 26 miles. You literally will die. You run a mile. Next day, you may run another mile. Next day, you may run 2 miles. And then you got to rest after that. You start 6 months in advance. There's a whole program of you run 1 mile today and 3 miles. And before you, the end, the week before, week or 2 weeks before, you never get up to running 26 miles because there's a point in there that's called hitting the wall. And at that point, your body quits eating the proteins that you have fed it and starts eating muscle. And it's right around 20 miles. So you never push your body past that until race day. So you train and you train and you train and you work up, gradually increasing how much you're running. And the day, well, starting about 2 or 3 days before, you do what's called stacking your food. So you start piling on the carbs. You know, as much bread, as much pasta, it's carb loading. So that your body has as much of that to eat as it can. Because it's going to eat that before it starts eating your muscle. So you give it as much food as it can have. You know, our walk with Christ, a mature walk with Christ, is much like running a marathon. Yes, it takes us as babies, we learn to walk, we learn to crawl, we make mistakes. The longer we're in Christ, we're up walking and then running and praying for other people. Once you become mature, you can train for a marathon. Continually praying with it in Christ. For others, without ceasing. Like it or not, we're all in a race. And the race is, are we or are we not going to heaven? And there's only one way there. It's not doing the right things. It's not living the right way. It's not knowing the right person sitting beside you. It's knowing and being best friends with God. Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Christ is our only way to heaven. And as we've gone through this series, I hope that it has prepared you, at least in some way, to run that marathon, continually praying and interceding for those around you, and that extends out as far as it can go. Let's bow our heads and close with a word of prayer. Father, I thank you for your love. I thank you for the opportunity to talk to you individually, and that you listen. Father, as we have learned over the past 3 months how to pray and what to pray about and how to intercede for others, I ask that you guide and direct us as who we should be interceding for specifically. Father, go with us now as we depart. Keep us ever close to you. In Jesus' name, amen.